Good morning, sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about overcoming toxic relationships by lifting your vibration and taking inspired action to create the life that you want. So today we are going to talk about something that I think a lot of us struggle with, but not a lot of people talk about. In fact, I think I've only ever heard one other person talk about it. So good morning, everybody. So I'm just going to give you a little example from my own life. So when I went no contact with my parent, who was toxic, I went through this, I expected to just kind of immediately fall down and crash sort of emotionally, but that didn't happen. What did happen is that I felt this huge weight lift off my chest, and suddenly I felt great. I felt like I could make all these decisions without worrying about what people were going to say or think or feel about them, and I had never done that before in my life, if we're being honest. So allow me to apologize for my crazy hair. It's still a little damp. It's not laying right, and I apologize. Anyway, so what ended up happening was that I ended up sort of, you know, experiencing sort of a crash after a few weeks. And that was, you know, I went through the grief period. I mourned a little bit of what I thought I had. And this crash would take a while for me to get past. So I want to talk to you about that today and how we all kind of go through stuff like that. Now, if you're new around here, I'll just give you a quick overview of what we're going to do today. So basically, I'm going to go through a few minutes of content, about to 15 minutes or so of content. Then I'm going to read the cards, and then we are going to jump into the chat and talk for a little while. All right. So as you know, we've talked before about how trauma bonds that we develop with narcissists are sort of very similar to any other addiction. It affects the same part of the brain as alcohol addiction, drug addiction, or anything else. So we become literally addicted to these people and to these toxic relationships, right? So I think that's why it's so much more difficult to end a toxic relationship with a narcissist or end any relationship with a narcissist than it is to end any other type of relationship. Not that we want to end a bunch of relationships, but unfortunately, when we discover these people, that's what we end up with. So I have made videos in detail about toxic relationships and trauma bonding, so I will make sure to put a link to that in the description when this video goes live again. But anyhow, just like any other addict, we need to recover from our toxic relationships so that we can gain control over the addiction to them and so that we can start to create the lives that we actually want. So, but this one phenomenon that puts us at risk early in recovery, and that if we fall for it, we might end up relapsing and falling for the Hoover and kind of getting stuck back with the narcissist, or worse, we end up chasing them as a result of this. It's called the pink cloud. And it's a term that is used to describe that feeling of elation that a lot of addicts and alcoholics say that they feel after they detox and move into sobriety. Well, the same thing happened to me when I went no contact from a parent. And now in my previous relationship, I could tell you that there was a little bit of this that happened, but it wasn't quite as profound as it was in the case of the parent who I went no contact with. But what happens is that when we finally let go of this person, we feel more excited, we feel more hopeful than we have maybe ever, but certainly in ways we didn't before. And things always seem to be moving in the right direction, and we think, you know, maybe again for the first time ever, that our lives might actually go well, right? But there's only one problem with it, and that is the crash that comes after, because it can make us dangerously overconfident in ourselves and our recovery. Let me just pause here and say, it was not. So somebody asked me in one of the groups, you know, can we talk about this issue? And so here I am talking about it. But the term pink cloud is, like I said, from the AA and NA type programs. And it was not me who connected it here. It was actually Kim Saeed who came up with, as far as I know, who connected the two things together the first time. She's the only other person I've ever seen talk about this. And I love her. So, you know, definitely take a look at her stuff when you get a minute. But the thing is that the overconfidence that comes with pink cloud syndrome can really lead you to a relapse in your recovery from a toxic relationship. It can lead you back, like I said, to get stuck. Now, like I also mentioned, pink cloud syndrome doesn't happen to everyone in recovery. I don't think that I really experienced it when I left my ex-husband, but I did with the parent. So, but it does happen to a lot of people in narcissistic abuse recovery. So that is an important thing to be aware of if you're just starting out, or even if you have been no contact for a while. Maybe you can relate to this, let me know. But I think it happens because when we first, you know, sort of clear that toxicity out of our lives of that person, we start to see the possibilities of what life can really look like, right? Without always being controlled, without constantly living under that cloud of codependency, you know? I felt like I had overcome my trauma bonding. And I didn't even know trauma bonding was a thing, but I felt like I had overcome the obligation. I've talked often about how I felt that something break inside me when I realized what I was dealing with. And, you know, I thought that was the thing I needed to get rid of, that cord of obligation, but there was so much more to it than that. And so when you have all this hope, you feel like you're on top of the world and nothing can go possibly wrong, you know? So I think you start to think, well, this is how I'm gonna feel all the time, this is great. Right? You figure life has just turned. Suddenly everything is better, and suddenly the only way to go now is up. But while it's an amazing feeling, and while I want to tell you to hold on as long as you can, I also want you to be realistic. And I also want you to recognize that, unfortunately, it doesn't last forever, because you're still human, you're still going to have bad days. And I would venture to say that you, like me, might find yourself sort of dropped off the cloud at some point. And it's not funny at all. It's actually terrible, but you do kind of crash back to earth in a most undignified way when you do this. And that's when reality sets back in, and all of a sudden you realize that even without the toxic person in your life, there are still going to be difficulties and hard times. You know, and like I've talked before about how I lost a bunch of weight a few years ago, and the same similar thing happened to me. I went through a phase where I felt really awesome and excited about it. And then I realized, well, you know, I still have issues. There are still things in my life that are not perfect. What is going on here? And it was really very similar to the pink cloud thing. So you have to remember that there will always still be certain things you have to deal with in your life that are maybe in some cases out of your control. And that tends to break a lot of people when they go through this. But you can find yourself in a really deep depression if you're not careful here. And so take the time to remember that, you know, when you were with that narcissist, you were not allowed to show your feelings. And if you're anything like me, you either shoved them down and didn't deal with them, or you numbed out and you pretended that you couldn't, you know, that they weren't happening, so that you could kind of just get through that moment, or, you know, as they would build up, many moments, many days, many years. But when we let go of the narcissist and we start to work on our healing and we start to really do better for ourselves, well, there are certain requirements that we need to pay attention to. And, you know, we need to at some point mourn that relationship, even if it doesn't seem like we should. I said to myself, well, I kind of mourned the relationship while I was still in it. A lot of us say that, but there is some truth to that. But when you fall off the pink cloud, then you start to realize, okay, maybe I have a little more mourning to do, or I have a little more stuff to work through, or the feelings all of a sudden hit you that have been kind of hidden from you for ever now, you know. So when you've lived in this state of constant control, and you've lived in this state of being completely numb emotionally for so long, you know, you might find that normal, as in not living, not having someone constantly control you and hold you down and sort of manage every move that you make. Well, it might at first feel like you're high on life. Like, wow, I get to make all my own choices. This is so amazing. Nobody's telling me what I can and can't do, or what I can and can't be or think or do or feel or have or whatever. And you can't even recall, if you ever knew, what real life feels like sometimes, especially if you've been in a lifelong relationship with one of these people. And you will most likely have forgotten what it even really feels like to deal with your emotions if you ever really knew. A lot of times when we start out early, we never get the opportunity to learn that stuff, right? So while it's really, really good to feel happy and excited and looking forward to the future, maybe for the first time in your life, and if you use that energy to your advantage, you can use it to sort of help you start to heal and make more intentional choices. All of that is good. Don't misunderstand me. But you have to be aware that the pink clouds sometimes will dissipate, almost always, and that you'll need to keep pushing through those hard parts. So you might think you don't need any help. You might think you don't, you know, you can just start living. And I want to say, yes, start living. Do that. But you also have to stick with your support groups or your coach or your therapist or even just coming in here every day, because the pink cloud is amazing, but it doesn't mean you're all done healing. It's just one part of it. You understand? So there are ups and downs in every single recovery ever of any sort of, you know, addiction, whether we're talking about a person or we're talking about, you know, toxic love addiction, or we're talking about drug addiction or alcohol addiction or whatever, shopping, gambling, all that stuff, food, there, you know, there's always a pink cloud. So if you are struggling with that, I'm going to share with you a few tips today about how to get through the hard parts of the dissipating pink cloud. Okay. So number one is going to be focus on balance. Being balanced in the relationship of a toxic nature, all of the emotions are extreme. They're really, really, really good, or they're really, really, really bad. There's no in between. There's no regular or normal. And so after the relationship, you know, you've been dealing with the highest of the highs and the lowest of lows. And when we come out of the relationship, you know, we just want things to be even and balanced, but we don't even always understand what that means, especially if it's been an ongoing thing. So start to focus on feeling calm and being good with that feeling, and start to focus on releasing the need to sort of feel those extreme emotions in order to feel normal. That's a big important thing. It's not always that easy to let that go so we can feel normal. Normal will feel boring to us eventually, you see. All right, number two, try to steer clear of the narcissist and places they might go, things they might do, places you know you'll drive by and see their cars or whatever. Try to find a different route to work, or look for a different grocery store to go to every time, or maybe change your bank to a different one that's not on the same route you know the narcissist goes. My point is, reduce the temptation of falling back in with the narcissist by creating new ways to do business, new travel routes, you know, new things in your daily life. That will also help you to, I think, recover faster, because you're not going to be so focused on, you know, oh, I remember we sat here for coffee that day, or I remember we used to do this all the time. You know what I mean? You're going to be focused on now instead of then, which is also another really important thing to do. So number three, same along the same lines, you know, create new routines and new traditions. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. So as far as new routines, we're talking about your daily routines, like we kind of just talked about, but maybe instead of getting up in the morning and, you know, having a cup of coffee right away, maybe you get up in the morning, you start your cup of coffee, and you jump in the shower, and then you drink your coffee. You know what I mean? Switch up your routines to fit your new life, and not, you know, don't keep your same old ones from before. And like, even though it might feel normal to you to continue to like sleep on the same side of the bed, maybe switch it up a little bit just to sort of give yourself a different perspective, especially if you're in the same house, rearrange the house, whatever. But then when it comes to holidays and the traditions that you do around holidays, and this can be true whether you have children or not, you know, keep the things that are important to you about the holidays. Like if you always put up a Christmas tree and you always use red bows on the tree, keep doing that if you love that. But if you, you know, previously always served like a buffet on you know, of hors d'oeuvres or something on New Year's Eve, well then maybe this year, I'm sorry, Christmas Eve, maybe this year you want to serve like chili or something. Come up with a new tradition is my point. Or maybe you want to go out to eat this time, you know. New traditions can help you really sort of move forward in your new life. And kids especially will love this. But even if you don't have kids, you need to do this, because this will help you to sort of continue to sort of extract yourself from that toxic relationship, even though you're already out. And it will really help you to sort of cement yourself into your new healthier life, you know. So yeah, release the traditions that don't fit anymore, and in either case, add in new stuff and new ways to do things, right? Number four, don't fool yourself into thinking that you can be friends with someone who has been in a toxic relationship with you. Addiction is addiction. You can't, you know, can't be friends with them, can't still go to coffee with them on Tuesdays. You know what I mean? You have to separate yourself from that person. I mean, if you think about it, if you were an alcoholic, you wouldn't just take one drink and think you were going to be okay, right? Because you know logically that if you take one drink, your body's going to want more drinks. Well, it's the same thing with trauma bonding. You have one little bit of contact, and then you want more. I have one client who likens the addiction to her ex like a heroin addiction. She says, you know, she gets one little sort of hit of his energy or his attention, and then she would immediately want more. And it took her a long time to get past it. But recognizing it from that perspective, I think, is huge in recovery. So just the same principle applies to toxic relationships. No, don't take one drink, you know? All right. Number five, get support from a group, a coach or a therapist, and stick with it. You know, don't let the pink cloud push you away, at least not for too long, from your support. So we have tons of free support groups. Well, not tons, but about 6 or 7 different ones for different levels of recovery and different issues. So if you go to queenbeing.com/span, S-P-A-N, or queenbeing.com/group-support, check those out, see what you can do. There's also coaching available for you on the site. And there's also, of course, any therapist that you can find who knows how to handle narcissistic abuse recovery. And I've actually got a post on my website about that, where I talk about what questions you can ask and things like that. So if you want me to, I can include that in the description when I come back through and repost this. All right. Number six, watch for your triggers. Have a plan in place for when one hits you. So triggers might be for you, you know, could be anything. Could be a certain song. I know that after I left my ex-husband, I intentionally didn't listen to any love songs for a long time, probably at least a year, because every time I would hear one, I would cry. So I just didn't. I made sure I had only happy music available to me in my car and whatever, you know, and I would change the station if I was listening to the radio, because I didn't want to hear things that made me cry. So, and that was just one example. But if you have triggers that you know things are going to hit you harder, try to steer clear of the triggers. And if you do happen to have a trigger moment, which we all do because we're human, well, then you know what to do. You be prepared ahead of time. Try a pattern interrupt, or you have a plan in place, and you work to release the feeling of negativity that comes with it, and you go forward from there, right? Number seven, keep your eye on the prize. Know what you're doing and know why you're doing it, right? So you are leaving that person or disconnecting from that person so you can move forward and create the life that you want and deserve. So when the pink cloud comes, enjoy it, but be aware that it is something it's gonna go away, and you're gonna hit the ground. And when you do, be prepared and hit the ground running. You know, don't beat yourself up about it. Just recognize this is a normal thing. Ups and downs are normal in any recovery and any life. So just recognize it for what it is. Try to look at it like a scientist and keep going forward. Keep your eye on the prize. That's it. All right, this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you experienced this? Have you gone through the pink cloud thing? Are you going through it now? And if you have gone through it, what would you add? What other tips worked for you to help you get back on track and not get back with a toxic person? Share your thoughts, your ideas, and your experiences in the chat now, or if you're watching later, in the comments below, and let's talk about it. All right, and now it is time to read the cards. Are you ready? Let us do it. All right, here we go. All right, so we have, to begin with, and we are almost through this deck, actually. I have just purchased my next set of cards, which I'm really excited about. I kind of want to jump in too early, but I want to go through all these first. And we are 10 cards away from that. This is the Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills deck, which we read one card from each day, and this will be your homework for today. This will be linked in the description below after the session is reposted, but you don't need to buy it because every single one of these cards I have shared with you so far during a session, and I will share all 52 with you. Today's is number 42. It is an interpersonal effectiveness skill, and here's what we have. Grab your pens, grab your pencils. We're gonna talk about it. Here it goes. Establish valued relationships. Review your values and set positive intentions for each of the important relationships in your life. Then interact with others according to those values and intentions. Also, set expectations about how you want to be treated and establish clear boundaries to protect yourself if necessary. Start today. This is a little bit tough to just do in one day, so I would suggest to you that you consider reviewing your values, and setting positive intentions for each of the important relationships in your life for today. All right? All right. Hey, Jillian. Hey, Magenta. Okay. Super Attractor deck. This is Gabrielle Bernstein's Super Attractor deck, and it's going to be our daily, our affirmation for today. And it's a good one because I think it reminds us that, you know, it's not always all in our control. And today's card is really kind of a little dark, but it's pretty. And it says, when I'm patient, I let the universe do for me what I cannot do for myself. So write that down. That's your affirmation for today. When I'm patient, I let the universe do for me what I cannot do for myself. Love it, love it, love it. Alrighty. And I'm going to jump in the chat and say hello to everyone, and then we're just going to see where we end up today. All right. So we have, good morning, what's for tea? I believe you were the one that asked me for this topic. I hope I did it justice for you. Good morning, Angela. Roderick Williams says, can you explain why a narcissist, when caught in a bold-faced lie, just ignores it and goes over it with no explanation? Well, yeah, that's because their reality is that they don't owe you any explanation. They have a huge sense of entitlement. And honestly, if you push them too hard, Roderick, they will probably be offended. How dare you ask me questions? How dare you question me? How dare you assume that I'm lying? You know, and even if you presented them with direct evidence of said lie in their face, photographic evidence even, they'll still deny it. It's just their nature. They don't want to take responsibility for what it is that they've done, and they don't think they owe you any explanation because they don't see you as a whole person. They see you as an extension of themselves. I hope that's helpful. And I do know it's frustrating. Hello, Shayu, welcome back. Angel says, I really like your hair. Thank you, because it's really, really, it's bad today. Thank you. Hey, Lisa, welcome. Diane Roach, hello, hello. Jen Archer, good morning, beautiful. Oh, she says, happy birthday. Thank you, my friend, I appreciate you. And Nubia is back. Welcome back, Nubia. Nargis, welcome back, Nargis. Yep, doubts, fear, and sadness. I hear you, girl. Angela says, I learned so much about toxic men that now I can't trust. Yeah, I get that. I get that. I do. Mm-hmm. Yep. Martha says, I need to review those videos. Yeah, here's the thing, Angela. Let me say this. When it comes to not being able to trust people, I think the key here is, number one, really learning to tune into your own intuition and starting to trust yourself more. And number two, setting boundaries and standing behind them. Because when someone crosses your boundary more than, you know, more times or breaks a deal breaker type thing, you know, you are more likely to not keep that person in your life if you understand who you are, you love yourself enough to value yourself enough to take action when they do, and even if that action is just to pull way back from that person. And then, you know, watching for those red flags, trusting yourself and watching for those red flags. It's a process. And if you don't trust and you're not ready to trust, that's okay. Take time. Don't rush it. There's no specific timetable on I must get into a relationship at this time. And if you're feeling that sort of pressure, then maybe you need to rethink that and what, you know, ask yourself, how can I stay focused on what I, you know, my recovery and what I do want? Because if you're feeling like the pressure to jump into another relationship, that's a whole other ball of wax. So I don't know if I'm making any sense. Let me know. I'm a little bit loopy today, a cold medicine. All right, let's see here. Shayu feels that way. She gets it. Let's see. Tanya is here. Hey, Tanya. She says, it's crazy. I'm so tired of the ups and downs. Yeah, I hear you. And every time, you know, each day it'll get a little better. It will. But it is definitely a process, and there are ups and downs even now for me, you know. Over the weekend, I had a birthday. I got a little sad about it. It happens. It's fine. You know, you go through and you have your moment and then you move on. Let's see here. Hey, Joe Sauter, welcome, welcome back. Joe says, happy birthday, we love you. Well, thank you, back at you, my friend. Butterfly Mama in the house. Hey, girl, hey, welcome back. Shayu says, I think that is the reason why I can't seem to go no contact. Well, certainly, trauma bonding is a thing, and it's definitely more difficult to go no contact when you are dealing with that, which I would say that we are probably all dealing with that on some level. Jen Archer represents the Mod Squad today. Thank you, my friend. And we have, Angela said, I let go and I felt great for a while, but now I just feel miserable. There it is. There it is. This is the pink cloud syndrome, right? So you feel miserable, but on the plus side, you're not alone, and that's a normal way to feel in recovery. Now that you know it, you can take action to start moving away from that feeling. What do you think about that? Share your thoughts. Thank you, Butterfly Mama. Thank you, Tanya. Everybody saying happy birthday. Appreciate you guys. Good morning, Magenta. I'm so happy to see you. I know I already said hello to you, but let me say it again. Good morning. Narga says, I go to DBT therapy, group therapy. It's challenging to sit through others talking about their marital issues. I start feeling a knot in my stomach and being unable to take a deep breath. I flash back to my bad marriage. Okay, and I know that's hard. Maybe you want to look for another group, or, you know, if you're finding that you get some benefit from that group, then stay with it. But maybe you, I get that feeling. I know how that feels. I go through those times myself when I need a little space from that stuff. But maybe you're ready to move to another group or something like that, Nargis. Just think about it and see if it's still helping you. And if it's not, then maybe it's time to move to like the next level. Something to think about. Okay, Linda Stevens, welcome back. She says, happy birthday. Thank you, my friend. Magenta says, wait, it's today, Angie's birthday. No, my birthday was Saturday. I appreciate you, though. Thank you. Let's see. Yes, Jen, it was Saturday. Thank you. Angela says, it's weird because I go by Angie, and sometimes I think people are talking to me. Not many Angies around, so I'm not used to another Angie. Well, I hear you. I do. I do. Yeah, I get it. When I was a kid, you might be younger than me. I'm trying to look at your picture here. But when I was a kid, I always had to be Angie last initial, or they would call one of us Angie and the other one Angela, or they would call one time it was Angie last initial, next initial, because there were three of us in one class and two of us had the same last initial. Yeah. So it was probably one of the more popular names when I was born. Nargis says, I wish I would not struggle since I love being in group therapy. I don't feel alone. Okay, I get that. She said, I wonder if there's group therapy for divorcees. I would say yes. I would say definitely. What's for Tea says, after leaving the main narcissist, I was doing well. However, I discovered some friends using similar tactics, so I had to back away from them too. I haven't been able to completely sever from those frenemies, so I'm trying to see if I... Okay. Yeah. What's for Tea? I think in that situation, it makes total sense that you would have this struggle. I would say keep it low contact or at least not emotional. And I also understand when you're dealing with somebody at work or like you literally have no one else in the world and you just need somebody. You know, they can be tolerable as friends if you keep yourself emotionally safe in those moments. But they can't be somebody that you can expect to be a big part of your everyday life for long, because I think it will eventually become a problem for you and you won't want to stick with it. So I hope that's a little helpful. Martha says, in AA, you do also understand that we are powerless over people and things as well, the people, places, and things as well as a substance. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's why I always say it's not exactly the same thing, but it's similar, because we can't control the narcissist. But that's why I always say, you know, I try to focus on what I can control and not what I can't. And it's very easy to recognize those things that you can help control. So if you, for example, are dealing with a narcissist, well, you certainly can't control their behavior, but you can definitely, in many cases, control their access to you. You know what I mean? Or how much of your emotion you give to them, how you perceive the situation, stuff like that. So that stuff can make your life better. Does that make sense? All right, let's see here. Thank you, Magenta. I appreciate you, my friend. Let's see. Jillian in the house, representing the Mod Squad. Appreciate you. Magenta, the pink cloud, I don't know how much of it you heard, but basically it is sort of a period of elation that happens after any sort of addiction ends or you're in the process of recovering from it. And it also applies to narcissistic abuse recovery. And a lot of people struggle with that because they feel super awesome and then they fall and they don't know why. Well, Kim Saeed originally is the first person I've ever heard who attached pink cloud syndrome to narcissistic abuse recovery, but it makes sense. I've always just talked about it as the ups and downs that we go through, but I like this symbolism here, and I think it really does match right up. And when you think about the fact that we are physically addicted to these people when we first get away from them. So something to think about. Yeah, Jillian says, no joke, depression and recovery. I experienced that. Yeah, me too, girl. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Angela. The pink cloud is how you feel great right after you leave. Yep, yep. Gray rocking frenemies now, a little sticky in public. Yeah, I hear you, what's for tea. And that's really, unfortunately, the best thing you can do if they give you any crap. As far as in public goes, you know, what I would tend to do with people like that is I would be polite, but not overly sherry. Don't share too much, you know what I mean? And don't give them your emotions. I know it can be difficult. Jillian says, I think sometimes when we get into recovery, we realize that we have inner issues that cause us to be with the narcissist and work to be done beyond simply getting away from an abusive person. Yes. And that's true. And that's a lot of times when we fall off the pink cloud, so we start to realize that. But that's important to realize. We need to know that stuff so we can avoid getting stuck with them again, because I bet you at least more than half of us, I bet, could say we've had more than one toxic relationship. I would say probably closer to 80 or 90% of us would probably more than that would agree that there's been more than one toxic person in our lives, because usually it's our personality that allows us to let them treat us that way, and then they take advantage of that and go from there. But our personalities are developed in childhood, and many of us can look into our childhood or our young adulthood and recognize where maybe that stuff came from, you know? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. That was a really valid point, Jillian. Tanya says, oh my gosh, that is in so depressed and don't need to be. That is it. I'm so depressed and I don't need to be. Yeah, well, if I find myself feeling depressed, if I just try to shove it down and move on, I'll just end up depressed later. But if I let myself be sad for a minute, like yesterday I was having those birthday issues, I let myself be sad and it was okay. And today I'm okay. You know, I told myself yesterday, I'll be fine tomorrow. This is just something I need to go through. And I did, and I'm fine, you know? So something to think about. Alyssa, hello Alyssa, welcome back. She says, 30 years now, I've been battling depression the whole time. The only emotions allowed in the house are his. Anger reigns. Yep, that's exactly what most of us experienced, was the only emotions allowed were theirs, the narcissist. Yeah, and that's exactly what this pink cloud thing is about. When you finally get out from under that sort of thumb, you know, of oppression, you do feel like lighter and relieved, and then reality sets in, you know? So that's normal, that's not a bad thing. Bonnie says, feeling unsafe is a big part of being with the narcissist, and even after we leave for a time, that's one of the things to work through, along with the mourning of the living dead. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you something, that's why I brought up the polyvagal theory a while back, because that is specifically, you know, about feeling safe or unsafe. And I think that, and I think I told you I had one client who used that to make a tremendous stride in her recovery, and it was very positive. And she was feeling understandably unsafe given her, I can't go into her story, but given her situation, it had come from everywhere in her life from the time she could remember. So, yeah, that's very true, Bonnie. Shayu says, I mastered gray rocking for a few months. Then I fell into the same pattern of arguing with the narcissist and getting trapped in their drama. It is very difficult to let go of, you know, those feelings to fight with someone or argue back or whatever when you're still in the relationship. You can only gray rock for so long. Gray rock is not a lifestyle. It's a temporary tool that you use to deal with somebody, to get through a moment, you know, or maybe a couple weeks or a month or whatever it takes you to gather up yourself and get out. And if you're dealing with somebody in the workplace or someone out in public, that's different. But when we're talking about in your own home, you have to have a plan. You can only do the gray rock thing for so long without going crazy. You know, I think I got a little too good at it for a while. And that was part of the reason I numbed out at the end of a relationship. Yeah. Jillian says, that's why I'm so grateful for this channel and Shine Buzz. Thank you, my friend. She says, focusing on the positive and ways to move forward helped me the most. Yes, absolutely. There, you know, we certainly go through a phase where we need to understand, and, you know, we need to go through the part where we analyze, we overanalyze, we need to understand the personality of the narcissist, we need to understand all that stuff, but then we need to stop listening to all that and focus on ourselves, and that's what Shine Buzz is about. It's about focusing on you, yourself, not just all the other people around you. You know what I mean? And I've always brought in this element to my stuff, where I've always talked about here's how to resolve it. But at some point, people don't want to hear about the narcissist anymore. I will tell you that it's pretty clear to me that some people still do, because I've literally every time I post a video, I lose subscribers now. And I know it's because a lot of people like the negative stuff. But I feel really committed to bringing it to the next level. And so I hope that you will stick with me and understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. I think you guys are with me on this. Let me know in the chat if you are. All right. Shayu says, yes, it's hard to gray rock again. And that's true. It is hard to gray rock when you have fallen back into the arguing and stuff. But just like anything else, you have to just kind of set a moment. This is the day I'm going to start again. You know, and I hope that you're working toward getting away from that person, Shayu. Angela says, yes, because he was my best friend and not just my partner. He wasn't really but at the time I thought he was. So to me, I did lose my best friend, and I had to mourn that and to come to terms with the fact that it wasn't real. Same. Yeah, same with my first husband. Oh, boy. Okay. Julie says, Alyssa, I feel that to my core, and 27 years for me, he was always so angry. Yeah. She says, and I was depressed the whole time. Thank you for talking about all of this. It is my pleasure. Thank you, Bonnie and Jen. I appreciate the mod squad in the house today. And also Jillian, thank you. Angela says to Shayu, it was difficult, but in my opinion, a must to healing. Yes, absolutely. Watts says, extreme ups and downs hopefully will level off. I used to joke about having a love-hate relationship with myself. Funny but not funny. Girl, I can relate. I can. I get it. I do. But look, yes, they'll level off, but you need to give yourself some self-care and some compassion here. If you need to take a day or two to have those feelings, let them happen. I know it's tempting to say, no, I don't want to feel like that. Let me just push that away. But this is where you end up, is feeling like you're all over the place and like, you know, falling down too many times. You know what I mean? So if you need to take some time to work through the emotions, do that. I suggest journaling or, you know, even like, well, I'm laughing at myself because yesterday I intentionally watched movies that made me cry. It works. Because I needed to just work through some, you know, I'm getting older emotions, and I did, and it's fine. I'm not scared of aging. It's just, you know, at some point you hit a point in your life and you go, dang, I'm really kind of getting old. You know what I mean? So it's fine. But sometimes you need to cry it out. You need to work through it. And I always find that a good movie cry helps a lot. You know, if you can't quite put your finger on it or you can't quite bring it up yourself, once you get the tears going, it can be very therapeutic. So something to think about. Let's see here. Extreme ups and downs. Yeah. Okay. Linda says, ah, the pink cloud of I made it. I gotcha. With the PTSD that goes with narcissism, that won't allow for total recovery. Right. And I think you can totally recover, but it's just not one thing. It's not just getting away. It's just getting away and then realizing how you got there in the first place, realizing what things happened to you to make you codependent, and then working on letting go of those things and trusting yourself again, so that, or maybe for the first time ever, so that you're no longer codependent. Do you see what I mean? All right. Alyssa says, Julie, yes. I never knew what was going on, I never know what's going to set him off, and I feel unsafe even talking to him about any of it. He will minimize and dismiss his actions and my feelings. Typical narcissist, unfortunately. Typical narcissist. Magenta says, maybe this is why after 16 years gone, I'm still learning about myself. It turns out I am not who I always portrayed myself to be. Okay, let's talk about that. I had the same experience, and what I think is a positive and lightning part about going through recovery is that we can really take a very hard look at ourselves and go, okay, well, this is who I really am. This is who I'd like to be. And then we can work toward becoming that person. Because to me, part of the who I'd like to be person is, in my opinion, in there already. It's the person that you really are underneath it all. And so when you figure out who you'd like to be, then you can start working toward that. But you can't do that if you're in the relationship on a daily basis still. You know what I mean? I hope that makes sense. I hope that, Magenta, that you figured out that who you are is still a perfectly awesome person, because just saying. All right, let's see here. Shayu says, I'm trying to snap out of it, but I'm so mentally fatigued that I'm careless about my healing. So maybe you need to give yourself a break, Shayu. Maybe you need to take some time to breathe and relax a little bit and then come back to it. But don't make it too long. Give yourself time to feel what you feel and set an end date on that and then start up the next day again, just like me with my crying yesterday. You know, so silly. It's not silly. I felt silly for crying. There's nothing wrong in my life except that, you know, birthdays are hard. Silly. Let's see here. Martha says, great topic today. Thank you. Joe says, PTSD and CPTSD can be dealt with and worked through and improved by like 90%. I believe with that to be true, and I agree with that. And in fact, I've seen it with Joe. Dreamwalking Angel, that's an awesome name. Thank you for sharing. I like that name. Welcome. Says, Alyssa, I totally get it. I live in the same situation. I'm so sorry your comment got my attention. Right. Right. I get it. Yeah, I'm just saying, though, says, yes, normal does feel like boring because you are so used to the chaos. That is the truth. Julie says, ladies, dive deep into this channel and also, and okay, Black Dahlia Presents, cool name. Hello, beautiful Angie. Thank you. Hello, hello, hello. I think I remember you from before, right? I think. Bible News Radio. Welcome back, Stacy. How are you? She says, normal gets comfortable eventually. I totally agree. And it's a beautiful thing. Jen and Bonnie are hilarious. They're killing me with their mod squad joking. Linda says, no, nobody thinks that, Linda. Nobody thinks that. Angela says, I'm working on being who I want to be, who I feel I really am inside. Yes. That is something, that's the best part, in my opinion, of all of this. That's the silver lining to this cloud, is that not only do you become really clear if you choose to intentionally heal, you can become really clear on who you are, really clear on who you want to be, and then you can actually start to work on becoming that person, and that's the best part, right there. Right there. Okay. All right. Let's see. Martha says, I won't even go within a 2-mile radius of the family home. Totally get it, girl. Totally. What's for Tea says, I stay out of narcissist and son's neighborhood, even though it's not fair or convenient. Right. I agree with that. But sometimes dealing with something that isn't fair or convenient is worth it for our sanity. You know, I think you're with me on that one. Linda says, amen to what's for Tea there. Okay. It is aggravating, says Linda, changing every aspect of your life from these narcissists. I agree with that. And I think you keep the stuff that you really love about your life, if there is anything still. And even if you choose to like later go back to that same coffee shop, give it a little bit of time so you can kind of get your space, if nothing else, you know? But I agree with you on that. Changing things up and creating new things helped me. Yes, Martha, same. And I'll tell you something else that might be useful or not, I don't know. But for me, one of the things that was really helpful, and I know I've probably told you guys this 100 times, but was to go find a freedom object. And in my case, it was a little mosaic candle holder from Pier 1 that was like $8 back then. And every time I looked at it, I was like, that's my freedom thing. That reminds me, I have freedom now from that toxic relationship. And it really made a difference. I kept it in my house for years. And in fact, I still have it, but it's just broken now because one of my kids knocked it off the entryway table. Anyway, but that's another thing I would suggest. Yeah, Bonnie, it is kind of a slow awakening, but mourning at the same time. That's a really, really good way to put it. Yeah. Alyssa says, I love all the support and help on here. Sometimes all of the crazy anger and rage he throws at me makes me feel like a loco for Cocoa Puffs. I get it, girl. I get it. I know. I've been there. Right, Jen. You wouldn't hang out in a bar as an alcoholic. Same thing with not hanging out with a narcissist when you've gone no contact, you're trying to go no contact. Yeah, same thing. Linda says, amen, Martha. It's taken me several years now to get a new routine from my narcissist. I had to move to another state. I get that. Yeah. Jillian says, the new traditions, yes, takes me way back. Angie, remember when we cleared off one certain area of our house? Yes, that one helps too. And it did lead to me rearranging the whole house. Yes, I love that one. And when you just take one shelf or one table, clean off one surface, it makes a huge difference. And in some cases, like in Jillian's case, it really does help you rearrange the whole house, and it feels better, in my opinion. Yeah. Nubia says, I got triggered by the movie The Invisible Man yesterday. I heard about that movie. She said, anxiety set in deeply. By the time I got home, I'd calmed down, no contact, mind games. Yeah. That's really valid. There are a lot of movies out there that definitely, and even TV shows that definitely portray toxic relationships and abuse and everything else. And so when you're in a situation where you're watching a movie like that, if you can walk away, by all means. But, you know, sometimes you're going to run across this stuff. And so, you know, being calm by the time you got home is a good thing. But certainly being aware, okay, this triggered me. Nubia, maybe you sit down and you write a journal entry about why it triggered you so that you can kind of work through the feelings that go with it. I mean, I think I know why, but for your own sake, something to think about. Thank you, Bama. I appreciate you, my friend. Angela says, I think they want that, Alyssa, for us to think we're crazy. Yep, they do. They can control us better that way. She says, but really, you're acting normally for a toxic situation. Absolutely. Yes. Jillian, thank you. It was my birthday on Saturday. I appreciate you, my friend, and I love you right back. Thank you. See, okay, I'm just saying this as part of me still in the angry stage. I get it, and the angry stage can help to propel us forward as we're going through recovery, but it can also be a time where we can sort of when it becomes toxic to us, then we want to release it, and we want to move forward with the flow. But I promise you that getting angry is necessary for some of us, especially when we're trying to get out if we feel stuck. Anger can really help to propel you forward away from a toxic situation. So something to think about here. Jen says, take deep breaths. Yes. Bama says, it's true. That's true. It's like the victims are stuck in what could have or should have been time mode. Yeah. Yep. Martha says to Linda, I get it. I too fled and lived behind locked gates and prayed, still doing that daily. Yep. All right. So how to deal with it? Yeah, I shared some tips on how to deal with it. And I can definitely share more tips on that as we go forward. Now Magenta says, I stay a tiny bit angry because it keeps me aware. And if you need that, then you should do that, you know, but also try not to stay angry to the point that it corrodes you personally. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you need to be a little angry to keep that, you know, barrier up, to keep your boundaries in place, do what you need to do, but try not to live in the anger too much, because eventually you just want to be able to flow and be happy, you know, something to think about. All right, I think I'm going to get ready to wrap up for today, but I will be here tomorrow at the usual time. Jen, that's a great idea. Let me share this. Oh, hey, Renee, thank you, my friend. Be happy. Thank you for being here. All right, and then Jen says, Bonnie, I wear bracelets, so when I slip backwards, I jingle them. It helps. I like that. So it helps cognitive dissonance too. That's great, Jen. I love that. I love it. All right. Yep. I'm going to get ready to wrap up for now. I will see you guys tomorrow at the same bad time, same bad channel. And if you have topic ideas that you want me to, hi, Kira. Hey, Freedom Lee. Thank you. If you have topic ideas or things you want me to talk about for tomorrow's session, feel free to pop them in here or tag me in the group like What's for Tea did on Friday. And I will be happy to bring forward any topic that is on the road to evolution and recovery and all that stuff. And if you have narcissist videos you need me to make, I'll make those on a separate schedule, but I will still do that. So yes. All right. Yep. But don't talk about the corona thing here though. Just talk about that somewhere else. All right. Yes, I can talk more about co-parenting. We can do that at some point. I've done many videos on that in the past. Thank you, Ars. I'm glad to see you today. Hello, everybody. Okay, I'm heading out. Hold on. Oh, thank you, Grace. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Grace says, have a birthday coffee on me. Thank you for all you do to spread joy. Wow, that's really sweet of you, Grace. Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much, and thanks for being here. Nubia, thank you. Okay, I'll let you guys get back on with your day, and please do enjoy coffee with me, because as soon as I get off here, I'm going to I'm going to go have a cup of coffee myself. Right on. I hear you there. Be happy. All right, everybody. I will see you tomorrow at the same time. Have a lovely Monday and a great week. All right. As always, thanks so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. Thank you for all the lovely birthday wishes, and I will see you all very soon.